This is the Hollywood Casino Press Box. Now back to Frank Cusimano on 590 The Fan and 590thefan.com. I used to make that time.
And welcome back. Hollywood Casino Press Box on the all-new 590 The Fan. We're broadcasting live from Schnucks, South Grand. Come on by and sample some of these great brats, these donuts. Order some flowers for your lovely spouse. Martin Kilcoyne joins us now. Martin, good to be with you. How are you, sir?
I am doing great. Happy to be here at Schnucks. Enjoyed the slop. Strick was fired up. Strick's been on his game. You know, when Tuna was out of line, he just took him right into the boards. Might have been a head-first hit, but I think Tuna deserved it. So great job by Strick. And he also said within 8 years he'd win the cup. He was correct. He was a little off.
Yeah.
It was a little sooner. The eight-year guarantee.
Kind of pessimistic, actually.
Yeah. In hindsight.
Well, he said it when they were in last place, too. So.
Frank's travels, did you get into your travel at all?
We will in just a moment, but we do want to welcome to the program a man who saw it from, I believe, Hawaii, one of the great blues broadcasters of all time. He is Ken Wilson. Ken, welcome to the program. We appreciate your time. Put it into words what it was like for you watching the final moments of Game 7.
Oh, baby! I couldn't believe it. I absolutely couldn't believe it, guys. It was I was like every other Blues fan, and I've always been a fan more than anything. I wasn't speechless. I was screaming and yelling, and boy, talk about thrilling! And it brings a tear to my eye now, and it did at the time. As my wife said before the game on Wednesday, she said, "You're going to cry, aren't you?" I said, "Yeah." She says, they win, you're going to cry. They lose, you're going to cry. And I was excited to give a big old baby and then a few tears. It was a lot of fun, like it was for everybody.
And I think you told us a couple of weeks ago that you might cry. And because of you, I was standing there in the tunnel, and I kept thinking, God, I'm like Ken Wilson. I think I might cry. I don't know that I did. I think I teared up a little bit but never quite sobbed. But I said, I'm feeling like Ken Wilson. It just means so much to so many people. It's hard to put into words. You don't want to wait 52 years, but because of that, I think it made it even more incredible, even more special.
Yeah, it does. I mean, anybody can win a Stanley Cup every other year, but, you know, when you wait 50 or 60 years, you're right, it has more meaning. And, you know, for me, it was all about the fans. And sitting in my great room in Honolulu and seeing the cutaways to Enterprise Center and to Busch Stadium, I mean, that was really, really exciting for me because it's the fans. And I've always said the Blues fans were the greatest hockey fans in the world, and that's who I was thrilled for. A lot of other people also, obviously. But it was just great. And, I mean, I wish I could be at the parade tomorrow and at least see it on TV. It's not the case, but my mind will be at the parade tomorrow.
Well, you can stream it on KSDK.com or probably Fox 2, probably.
That's
so
true.
Right off the bat, Ken, I remember after we interviewed you the last time, Joe Micheletti sent me a text, hey, do you have Ken's number? And I know you and Joe were a terrific broadcast team for years and friends. I'm wondering, have you had much contact with any of your former either Blues broadcast partners or players or personnel?
Not too much, guys. You know, I got a number of texts the other day and some before, and folks saying, gee, wish you were here, wish you could come to our party, that sort of thing. But that hasn't happened, but I think in spirit we're all connected and always will be. Because the guys I worked with, the analysts, and I don't know, there might have been 20 analysts I worked with in the 20 seasons, fellows like Joe Micheletti and Bernie Federko and down the line, we're always terrific. We always had a good time. We were always close. And as I've mentioned before, the fellows in the truck, folks at the radio station and Fox Sports, and back in the old days at KPLR TV, you know, those are ties that, you know, may not be as familiar years and years later, but they're never forgotten because they were always great and very strong.
You know, Ken, the hockey gods have been tough on this franchise. So many disappointing moments. Great players that have been through here, Hall of Fame players. I asked Bernie Federko on the ice the other night, did you ever think maybe it just won't happen? And he said, oh, for sure. Every time there was a painful exit, he said, you just think, gosh, is it never going to happen for us? And, again, I think it adds to the story. Did you ever feel that way? That not that there was a curse, but that, gosh, maybe it's just not meant to be.
No, actually, I always felt differently. I always thought the day would come. You know, and I kind of thought that I would get to see it. And I don't know why I thought that, but I thought my attitude always was it's just a matter of time. And, you know, time's starting to run out on people like me, but I did think it would happen in my lifetime. And so it didn't surprise me that much, but it did surprise me that it was this season because I've mentioned before I watched the Blues play last October in Montreal, and to be kind, Tarasenko played pretty well, but the team was not good. They just were, as I said to my wife, they were awful. And, you know, it would be hard for me to imagine sitting at Bell Center last October that I would sit in June and watch them play for the Stanley Cup. So, you know, stranger things happen, but I'm not totally surprised that eventually the Blues did win the Stanley Cup.
You witnessed, Ken, up close and personal, the effect that Brett Hull had on hockey in St. Louis. Many people think that many rinks were built because of the Golden Brett's electric seasons. What about the impact of this Stanley Cup and what it could do to our town for years to come?
Well, you can't underestimate it. I mean, just look at the reaction, the TV ratings, you know, again, Busch Stadium, Enterprise, when the game's on the road. I think it'll be the same kind of kick that the community got, the hockey world, from Brett having so many great seasons with the Blues. It's a natural evolution, and it usually takes things like winning a Stanley Cup to help. I was mentioning to somebody yesterday, in fact, as I was talking to somebody in Minnesota, and we were talking about the Blues winning the Stanley Cup, and they said, where'd you grow up? I said, I grew up in Detroit. And they said, well, that's quite a hockey town. I said, yeah, but when I was a kid and I played hockey, we had the Olympia and one other indoor rink in Detroit, okay, to play youth hockey. And, you know, no one even dreamed at that point that anybody would ever play amateur hockey in Detroit and play in the National Hockey League. But, you know, as time went on, all you know, there's probably 50 indoor rinks in Detroit today, and kids come out of Detroit and play in the NHL all the time. So you see that same – we've seen that same evolution in St. Louis, you know, where who would have thought NHL players would ever come out of St. Louis even 20 or 30 years ago, and now they do. So I think this will be a huge kick in the rear to get people to, you know, those who are on the fence and might not support building rinks or politicians who might not give that key vote. I think that this will be a big, big, big help. And, you know, I've always believed that for kids, hockey was the greatest game to play, more of a character builder than any other game. So I think this is wonderful and will give the hockey world, especially amateur hockey in St. Louis, a big, big lift.
Hey, Ken, as far as the game itself, how epic was Jordan Binnington? And we've equated him to Kurt Warner 20 years ago, coming out of nowhere. They don't win it, obviously, without him. But I felt like he deflated the building in that first period. He makes 12 stops. And then Tuukka Rask, who's an all-world goalie, gives up 2 goals on 4 shots. Where did you think the Binnington performance ranks in terms of big-time, big moments?
Well, you said it. The Blues do not win Game 7 without his performance. My wife, I tend to like to use the crystal ball and make my experiences greater than they really are. And I'll usually say to my wife, here's how the game's going to end or here's how it's going to go. And I'm sorry to say that when the game started, my wife said, what are the chances? I said, 65% chance the Bruins win, 35% chance the Blues win. I said, I'm begging for overtime because once the game gets to overtime, the Blues have as good a chance as the Bruins. So I was not, just from, you know, my feel and understanding of the game, I was not overly confident going into that game. And then when the Blues came out, they dominated the first 3 to 4 minutes of the game. And that really surprised me because I thought that nerves and the crowd would hurt the Blues in the early going. I expected the Bruins to have the great start. But, boy, did things turn in a hurry. And when Boston took control of the game there at about the four-minute mark of the first period, they, you know, everybody knows that they could have scored two or three times if it wasn't for Bennington. And then when they got a goal, you know, you're going, well, how'd the Blues get a goal? Because they just haven't really owned the puck very much. And I think one of my biggest oh babies ever came with the second goal, because that was really a key goal later in the first period. My wife claims that the loudest oh baby ever heard came on a goal that made it 3-0, which really clinched the game, as everybody knows, and made you believe that we owned the Stanley Cup. And I will admit I did scream oh baby pretty loudly, but
We needed tape, Ken. They should have been rolling. Your wife should have been rolling video. That baby, that old baby would be viral right now.
Yeah, it was. It's all real because it's emotional. But Bennington was great. I mean, I thought the folks at NBC felt he was going to win the Conn Smythe Trophy, because when the game was over and they were talking about it, the video was all Bennington. So I think they were a little surprised, but it's not really that important who wins the Conn Smythe Trophy. It's who wins the Stanley Cup. But he was fabulous, and the story is just, you know, unbelievable.
So to set it up perfectly for our listening audience, you and your wife are watching the game alone in Honolulu at your place, and you are giving that classic oh baby call.
That's how it went. I told my wife we were going to have a big party. And for us, a big party isn't that big, because I watched every game alone. And my wife, who is a St. Louis native, was kind enough for Game 7 to actually sit with me on the couch. So, she experienced it also. And that was it. And I told her, she asked me in the morning, what do you want me to buy for the party? And I said, nothing. I'm going to have a bottle of water, and away we go. Strap it on and get ready to play. So we just sat there, and I said, this is a heck of a party, isn't it? And just watching the game was enough. I don't have a lot of people out here in Honolulu who I know as great St. Louis Blues or even hockey fans. So I went. Of course, the game came on at 2 o'clock out here. So I said to my wife, we have to celebrate. We went to a new barbecue restaurant, and there were about 10 people in line. And I kept saying as loudly as I could to my wife, did you know the St. Louis Blues won the Stanley Cup? And people are looking at me like, I don't think they knew what I was even talking about. But I was still pretty excited. So I beat the drums for the Blues and beat the drum for the game of hockey, no matter I am.
What is your typical day? Are you surfing? What do you do most days in Hawaii?
You know, I've only been here 6.5 weeks because we moved back to Hawaii from Portland once our two adopted children graduated from high school and they just finished their freshman year of college. So that's when we knew we were going to move back here. So my first 6.5 weeks have been unpacking, getting construction workers in and out of renovating our house that we've had since 2000 and things like that. And next week I move into looking for employment, and that's an interesting task when you've been around a long, long, long time on Earth, and they say, what's your experience? And you go, I've been a sportscaster most of my life. That really doesn't interpolate it to many job situations. So
you're depressing us,
Frank.
No,
Frank and I can relate. We've often said that our skill set doesn't really apply to anything meaningful in life.
Yeah. I still wonder why I went to college. I don't know what to do. The good news is I like to do a lot of things, and I'm willing. Hey, I've made pizza dough before, and I just like to have fun and be active and be productive. So that's going to be my day starting next week, looking for gainful employment of some sort. But
and you never did run for governor, did you?
No, and you know what happened, and this was in 2000, in 2005, 2006, when I moved out here from St. Louis, when I realized that I had to raise $6 to $7 million at least to run, I realized that I was never going to be able to do that. So that was a good idea, and I still think about running for political office, but I would not be very good in that atmosphere, especially as we see it today on the national level. But you know, a point that's interesting, just to switch the subject, I see there were a number of articles, or at least one or two, in St. Louis about broadcasters and getting the opportunity to broadcast a Stanley Cup final game. And I you know, as a broadcaster, that certainly would mean a lot, the opportunity to get to do that. And it didn't strike me until about Game 6 that I actually broadcast the Stanley Cup Finals. And I said to my wife, I said, you know, I did that. She said, when in the world did you ever do that? I said, 1986, when I was the voice of the NHL on ESPN, I did the play-by-play of the Montreal-Calgary Stanley Cup Finals. And it was interesting because folks might remember that Al MacInnis was a big star for Calgary, and a fuzzy-cheeked kid named Brett Hull made his NHL debut during the playoffs in 1986 and scored his first NHL goal in that playoff series, which Montreal won 4-1. So I don't know if it made me feel any better about my life, but when I realized that the other day, I said, I guess that's pretty cool for a hockey broadcaster that, you know, at least I did get to broadcast the Stanley Cup Finals.
That's when you know you've had a great career, Frank, when you just sort of forget that you called the Stanley Cup Finals at one point. That's when you know you've done a lot.
Well, it's interesting, and, you know, you're just always grateful that you had the opportunity to do anything. And some, my wife asked me, what are you thinking about during this? And it's very emotional for me. You know, there's so many people you have to tie in, and again, it's always the fans. You know, forget everything else is incidental to the fans. But you know, I sat there and I thought of the guys. You know, it's easy to think of Brett and Bernie and you know, Chris Pronger and Gary Unger and the Barkley Plager and Bobby Plager. But you know, one name I didn't hear that much was Brian Sutter. You know, here's a guy that talk about grit and dedication back in the days when we were a blue-collar lunch bucket kind of team. You know, I kind of wondered where Brian was. And, you know, I said to my wife, I said, there's so many who contributed so heartily. Ron Curran, Jack Quinn, the front office people, the business people, the folks that were involved in the players. You know, and unfortunately some of them didn't make it to get to experience it. But, you know, I can't help but think of them at the time also, and I did a lot during each and every game, especially game number 7.
Great stuff. Ken, honored to have you on the program. Thank you so much.
Guys, I appreciate being thought of, and again, congratulations to everybody, and I'm so thrilled for the fans and looking forward, like everybody else is, to the big parade tomorrow. Thanks, guys.
All right, that's the great Ken Wilson. We will take a short timeout. But before we go to break, quick word about Maryville. Go to maryville.edu for more information about that terrific university in town and country. We're going to be broadcasting live from Old Hickory on Monday. We'll visit with our outstanding athletic director, Lonnie Folks, on that day, I'm sure. We'll be right back after this.